itself, but I think like from a technology side, like one firm just had more or less like screenshots that like they were sliding through like a PowerPoint thing versus like other people built stuff that like really worked in Silverlight.
Yeah.
Like, way technical waiting was supposed to go into it, but I don't know how like you really.
Well, you can't really. Yeah, you can't if you've got 12 minutes to talk about your solution. You don't really have time to go and dig into it, which might be nice if you could actually do a first day's release and people could actually go and look in it and evaluate your technical approach to the problem as well as the visual. Because there was a lot of demo where, you know, click, 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 click. Hey, isn't it great? Looks pretty. Things spinning around. Yay. But nothing, there was no meat under the covers.
Sure.
But, I mean, it was a design challenge, so it's a little bit...
Yeah, and I think, like, we tried
to... So this is Rich and Kevin talking about the BizBop Design Challenge that they just recently participated in, one of them in Chicago, one of them in Austin, and kind of talking about the process, talking about the things that were really good and things that were really bad about it. So both of them are very much technologists, so anyways, good conversation.
Yeah, that's one thing I did take away from it. Don't try and boil the ocean. Josh blogged about this on his blog, but, you know, because we had a full source control situation set up, and we were going to do all this testing, and I was like, after like day two, I'm like, hell no, about 3 hours of sleep, let's just keep writing code.
We had none of that, we kept scrapping stuff, and it's like, we just had a file share, we're just emailing stuff back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. But it was good for the collaboration, because our designer was hooked into it as well, so she was dropping stuff on the shares, so we could move back and forth. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, we just all hold up in one big room. At all our computers in there.
Yeah, it's a fun one. I hope they do it again.
But this time it's been interesting because our designer, or our one designer's in Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm in San Francisco, and our other designer's in Chicago.
So how are you collaborating?
Using like live meeting.
Live meeting?
Yeah. So,
really?
Like, we have the communication infrastructure, so we just set up like a live meeting. You know, we can have the cameras in there, like the shared whiteboard.
Are you throwing concepts around on video?
Yeah, and we'll just point the camera at the whiteboard, and like someone will draw on there and stuff too, and we can all see it.
Very
and
cool.
Comment on it.
So, have you looked at Groove for doing file sharing and things like that?
You know, I've tried that a little bit once in a while, but I've never really got it fully set up where it like worked well for me. I mean, I think like it's just kind of nice with like live meetings. A, just easy to set up. It's integrated with Outlook. And sharing files via that works pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, usually if we're doing anything, we would be sharing a lot like code stuff. We'd always use TFS.
Yeah.
For that, so like Groove might be a good case. I kind of should try.
For something as lightweight as that, it gives you the ability to just move files around because they're going into the cloud. You don't have to sync things up. And it just happens. So, it's definitely something you may look at. It's particularly on top of your live meeting sort of environment that you're using right now. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's one thing as a company that we've looked into doing stuff with Groove, but it's like hard to get people to move that. And plus, there's a lot of stuff that Groove does that seems like this overlap in SharePoint. As far as like, you know, we use like SharePoint internally for our projects. We want to share files and like collaborate on stuff and have lists. And Groove seems to have a lot of that built into workspaces.
It does, and you can share SharePoint files with the workspace, which is quite nice. I don't use it necessarily, but I find SharePoint for me a little bit overbearing, and for running a little community internally at my company, we just used to do it all on Groove, and it's really easy.
Really?
Yeah.
That might be one thing we'd have to look at. I mean, the biggest thing for us about SharePoint, though, is like most people, almost everyone in our company works on the client sites.
Yeah.
So they may be on like client computers, and we wouldn't have Groove all the time. So like SharePoint works well because all they need is a web browser, and they go to it and get stuff. Whereas like Groove for me, it's like I work from home, so I always have it on my machine. But like,
so my personal favorite feature of Groove is that you can actually point it at a SharePoint folder and have it offload all those files and offline them. So you know, we in Microsoft we use SharePoint to death. I mean, it's amazing the amount of SharePoint that we use, and so there are just, you know, thousands of gigs worth of files online, and I'm oftentimes in the field on site of the client, you know, behind a firewall, behind, you know, or in, you know, wherever, on a plane, and so I can offline an entire SharePoint repository with Groove.
Sure.
And so use SharePoint internally, but you can use Groove to, you know, to have your own offline version.
Sure. Yeah. Does Groove do, like, how does it manage, like, concurrency of stuff, like changes? Like, is there a concept of checking in or checking out?
You check things in, you check things out, and it'll show you who modified it last, and it'll lock them.
Okay.
So, because we actually manage an internal work list for some of the things that we do, and there's an Excel document that people check out, and they'll add some things, and it's locked while they're doing it. So it's simple CRUD operations that have locks and things on them. So it's not the whole workflow and everything else that you can get with SharePoint, but it still does a pretty good
job.
Maybe
we'll try that out for a...
It's worth a try.
For BizPub, if
we get it. Was a complete convert. I was a total skeptic and never changed my mind. So try it.
So are you going to be at South by Southwest? Or?
I am going to be at the party for the announcement of the first part of the thing. Okay. So I'll be there, and I might be at the dinner on the Sunday before, but I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to go to South by Southwest. A little bit busy.
Yeah, I probably won't get a chance to enjoy any of the interactive festival.
Well, that's a shame. Hopefully we can have a beer, though.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know that, well, there's during FizzPop and afterwards. And there's a big Facebook party after the...
There is?
Like, oh. Facebook developers of that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You guys wrote the Facebook developer API.
Yeah.
Oh, we use that at
The .NET thing, so...
Yeah. Right, the .NET side of that, yes. Yeah. The .NET
we
wrapper.
We actually use that. In
really?
Yeah. How
real
for
you?
Just fine. It was really easy. I was quite surprised. It was like, click, oh, look, I've got my contacts. So, congratulations, good job.
Thank you. Yeah, that was one thing that, you know, it always comes back to, like, as a developer, like, building something and then actually reusing it yourself. So a lot of times when we were building stuff.
Eating your own dog food.
Yeah, so we did it a little bit when we were building it, but then, you know, we, like, the stuff that was, like, Facebook applications that, like, integrate actually into Facebook, like, that support was bolted on, like, later. Because we built the toolkit before the platform launch.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Ours was kind of based around, like, what's the easiest scenario for, like, WinForm developers to make, like, a list of Facebook friends and, you know, drag onto the app. So that was kind of how it built and it sort of progressed and stuff got added on. So I know there's, like, some debate because there's two ways. There's Facebook.net, which is developed by someone else at Microsoft, and there's the, like, Facebook developer toolkit.
I'm always pleased to see those things. Anything that writes code that I don't have to, I'm very happy.
But recently I just built an app in Facebook using the toolkit, so I felt like... At least now I can defend it a little
more. You're adding to the noise. I can't stand Facebook. It's driving me mad.
I think this app's actually going to be sort of helpful. I mean, I look at a lot of things in there.
Is it an application remover?
No. What it is, it's actually an application to aggregate content from all the different Microsoft community sites. So I think it actually has a good purpose because I just know for, like, me, like, looking at stuff that comes out of Microsoft. But you have so many... Things like On 10, Channel 9, Channel 8, and so this aggregates all the content and like shows you community rankings on things, and you can see like sort by popularity and stuff, and you can see like what things are most popular amongst the community, and then you can see
like
your friends.
So it's like a dig thing for aggregation.
Right, and it builds more in the social network stuff of like specifically like your friends or across the community, and you can see like rankings and stuff. So. You know, I try to limit, like, the spamminess of it, like, you know, it's sending out notifications and stuff. That's what I do a lot about like that. Basically, when you just favorite something, like, it'll put an item in your newsfeed with, like, a link and the picture to it.
Very cool. Where can I find out about it?
It should be launching pretty soon. It's undergoing testing right now. So.
That's something I might actually use.
Yeah, I think, like...
Instead of hug me, hug your friend, send them a drink.
And even if anything, if you don't use it, the one really cool thing about it is it generates an RSS feed of, like, you could subscribe to an RSS feed of your friend's favorites.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to actually use the app. So, like, someone else could just get... You could just get the link to, like, their RSS favorites. Or, like, an RSS of everything that comes out of all the Microsoft community sites, aggregating into one thing. So you don't have to, like, individually subscribe to all those blogs.
Excellent.
And the other really cool thing, too, is when you view the RSS things in there, I mean, it's like reading it through a news reader, so basically everything's, like, reformatted nicely for it, because you have a lot of people that post stuff on, like, IIS.net, like, using Word, you know, crazy formatting. And, so it's, like, kind of consistent. So
very cool.
There's some helpful things, but yeah, I used the developer toolkit for it, so it was kind of a good experience, like, to use something that I... helped write.
Worked for us first time, plugged it in, and it went. So.
Cool, I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, it was good news. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because we were like, design challenge, community, Facebook. Oh, look, there's an API. So it was very nice to find it. So.
I think it's almost automatic when you talk about like the design challenge problems that like, it's either have a Twitter or Facebook integration needs to be there as far as...
One of the scenes at our challenge, they put Pounce, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, something else, and Live Spaces. And I was flabbergasted how you could have all of these things integrated into one application. Like, okay, that doesn't make any sense.
We have one of the guys I'm working with, or it works for Clarity, he's working on building, like, Pounce just released their API, so he's going to build a similar wrapper for Pounce, the Facebook toolkit.
But I think the key that you're highlighting here is that people are going to start writing aggregator services to wrap all of these other things.
Yeah.
Because I resisted getting a Twitter account for the longest time.
Right.
And I don't want to go in and start another account that does exactly the same thing. I'd rather have one aggregate service that publishes everything I need.
Yeah.
So that, maybe even a microformat or some other contract that people can agree on.
I totally agree about the microformat. So that was one thing that he's sort of building this, and what we're going to work on is, like, I know Vertigo built, some guys have built Witty, which is a really cool WPF client, but what I wanted to take something like that and the concept of have something cool looking, but that let you put in multiple, like, Pounce, Twitter, Jaiku, all those, mm-hmm. and then just enable you to do cross-posting and aggregate all the stuff into one list, that way you can just see in the client, like, all the posts.
Kind of like the open messenger format.
Yeah, and I think the really cool thing would be if people started to get micro formats, like, I think that's hard to put in Twitter, but there are certain things like embedding in there that it can extract out, like if you're writing a review about something.
Yeah. Well, here's a cool idea. So you've got Messenger, you want to send something to Twitter, prefix it with a specific character code or some other, like, Twitter colon or tweet colon, some text, and it just sends it straight out to your Twitter account. That kind of integration would be cool too.
Inside the app itself?
Inside Messenger.
Oh, inside Messenger. Yeah, that's interesting. That was another, like, side project of things that I've wanted to work on is more stuff using, like, Twitter messaging, as far as making things automatic. Like, do you use Yelp, the review site?
No, not recently.
So it's not really a micro format, but I think, like, one cool use of Twitter would be, like, sort of, like, robotic things. Like, where if I want to write a review, like, rather than going to Yelp, like, on my phone, I can just Twitter to Yelp, like, the name of the restaurant, and then it'll respond back to me and say,
kind of like the Google bots or the MSN bots that you get.
So Twitter is, like, a great use for that, I think, because it gives you the SMS infrastructure already for free, like, as a developer. So you can just SMS to, like, the Yelp Twitter user.
That's true.
To write those. So I think I was trying to look at a lot of ways of trying to...
Those ideas are all copyright, by the way. You're not allowed to take them. We thought of them first.
No, if someone builds it, that'd be great. Yeah, I'd be excited just to have this about. If no one does it, then I'll eventually get to it. So you've got to prioritize what you're going to work on. So.
Sounds like a great open source project, though.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
That idea.
I mean, definitely, like, the Pounce thing is, you know, we're trying to start at least working on putting more things in code products. And, like, the meta stuff you mentioned. I mean, I think it would be really cool. I think Coding for Fun has tried this, like, having their libraries, but having the ability with all these things to have, like, good wrappers that you can consume and make stuff relatively in the same format, so that if you want to interact with, like, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, Pounce, like, there's kind of one sort of consistent way, and you can just add those libraries in.
Yeah, that's why I like OpenID and things like that, because I get sick and tired of the whole federated security thing. I'm sick and tired. Like, I was just popped into Chris Bernard's panel, and he was talking about who's got multiple email addresses, who's got multiple logins. I'm like, yay! And then I was thinking, why didn't he mention OpenID or something like that, initiative? That, for me, is just the best thing ever, and I'm hunting for sites that I want to use that have got OpenID on it. So all of those things. Aggregation is the key for me right now. I'm sick and tired of all these different services.
That's one thing that I haven't seen, I mean, it's sort of related, I think, that I haven't seen a lot from Microsoft again, but was Hardspace that I was kind of excited about. As far as, like, managing your profile, and I'm sick of, like, filling out forms for things and signing in. I sort of want that aggregate view of, like, my data and be able to, like, just send that off to sites easily. And
I think OpenID's got that notion with personas, but I've not seen it mapped into something before. Like, you can go into
other than, like, authentication or something. I didn't know that did that. But I admit I don't know that much. Other than the fact that I've used it to log into a few sites.
Huh. Yeah, that's good stuff. Okay, I'm done talking.
All right, so briefly, Rich, how can people find you?
How can people find me?
Yes.
Rich.Weston@Neudesic.com. N-E-U, actually, here, it's easier. Just read it.
N-E-U-D-E-S-I-C.com.
Or on digitaltechnique.net. That's digital, T-E-K-N-I-Q.net. That's my blog. I get on it whenever I can, and I'm going to be putting a lot more stuff on there in future.
Fantastic. How do we find you, Kevin?
Unfortunately, unlike you, I don't have my same name for everything, so my email address is kevin.marshall@clarity, and then just con.com, so claritycon.com.
So, yeah, so, and, so claritycon.com.
And I have a blog that's also on that on the ClarityCon website. There's a list to our blogs. And on Twitter, I'm KS Marshall.
KS Marshall on Twitter.
I have a Twitter too, but I can't. Oh, yeah, mine's twitter.com, Digital Technique, and I've also got a MySpace, which is myspace.com/thedeafblind, all one word. That's my music profile. So that's pretty much where I am.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.